sanotaan on jo valmiina.
Hello.
Good afternoon, everybody. I hope you have a nice and relaxing lunch. Do you hear me? Is the microphone working? No. Now?
Yes.
Okay. I am Mariana Salgado. I am a postdoctoral researcher in Aalto University in the Department of Media. I work now in Aalto Research Group. And I'm going to talk about inclusion, participation, and openness. And especially I'm going to trace my own and personal path into these topics. Hopefully it's interesting for you. So this is part of what it was my doctoral research, and it was the signing for an open museum, and you can find the book online. And it was mainly the research we do in Media Lab is mostly design research. That means that through the interactive pieces we create, we also are doing research. So we need these proposals in the museum in order to evaluate our own hypotheses, our own statements. So my main question was how to create this interactive design that encourages people to participate in exhibitions. And all my interactive pieces, they have like a digital component. They have been online, but also they were part of the museum exhibition. And the first one I have done, it was Hani Jalki, and it was in Athenaeum Museum. And the idea was to create an I'm going to go back to the other slide. The idea in this case was to create an audio participative guide. What does it mean? Like in the museum, as you know, like visually impaired people, they can't put themselves the gloves and gloves and then touch the sculptures. So in this participatory guide, the visually impaired visitors could leave their own trace, tell how was their own perception of the piece. So instead of going to the museum and having like the a guide a statement or the guide description about the object, this time it was like visual impaired persons telling, for example, when they were touching these sculptures, they were telling about, well, I do imagine a brown skin boys with curly brown hair. So their own way and their own way of perceiving these sculptures was there in the audio pieces. So my idea after this trial that it's interesting to give the stage and to give the museum as a place for inspiration and as a place for people to understand each other, to have a dialogue within visitors, and that this dialogue could be visible through, in this case, it was the audio guide. So this digital piece, the audios were online and in the piece. So for that, we did a prototype, and we also did a lot of different workshops in which we ask visually impaired people how do they perceive an ideal museum in order to design this guide, and how do they want to be a guide in the museum. So also it was through their own insight on the museum experience that we could design a guide that was a little bit different as the normal audio guides in the museum. So at that moment, we also evaluate that and test with different persons in the museum. And now I am collaborating with a company that is going to probably continue with this work and are also interested in the recordings that we have done back then. So the second piece in the museum was this Quescus Telucarta conversational map in Taide Halle. And in Taide Halle at the moment, there was this young Biennale exhibition in which young artists, like they were doing videos and sculptures and painters, they have their work there. And we set up a map that was both in the exhibition and online in which visitors could comment. And so it was something, it was just a stunt in the museum because it was just to try out what happened. So all these proposals, all these trials are a way to go forward in what we believe at that moment that it could be new thing in the museum. Instead of having like the visitor's book that nobody shows, what happens when you really show the comments to everybody? So what has happened is that really people put a lot of effort in how they write these comments, and the fact that their own content was exposed and was open and showed to others make it more rich. So it was not only about putting like Mahtava Nautelu Hyvä, but also about like making rich content to complement the exhibition. And for example, in this case, well, there was some, it was also the possibility through this interactive map to leave links to other related material. For example, people could leave links to other to other painters' work. For example, someone said, "I think your work relates to this other painter," and would see and would put the link. So you could like make the comparison. So people was like really putting into context and making their own interpretation of the museum work. These two ones were like kind of short and just quick trials. And then I started to work with the Design Museum in Helsinki in order to create this the Secret Life of Objects. And it was, at the beginning, it was only a stand in the side of the museum, and then the educators of the museum, they really believed that something of this kind need to be highlighted in the museum. So designed together an exhibition in order to motivate people to leave comments in the museum. So the whole exhibition was designed to push people to make it. So it was not only that we put a stand there, but the comments were all around the exhibition. So again, it was like it was a stand in the museum, and again, you could have access through the map online. But this time, like the presence of the visitors was all around. So, for example, in the Design Museum, there is a lot of foreigners coming, and there was a lot of Finns telling the foreigners, "Hey, you know, in every Finnish house we have an Alvar Aalto vase." Like, the first time I went to Australia, the first thing I asked to my mind to bring is the fiscal scissors. So, like, Finns were telling about the cultural aspects of these objects and how these objects play a role in their life. And then foreigners were also telling stories related to the objects. But in this case, we could go one step forward, because we could think in that this interactive piece was not there alone, but it was part of the whole ecology of the museum, and we designed a series of workshops together to enrich this piece and to make something different happen, to enrich like the whole collection. So it was this time, for example, we invited teenagers that were practicing creative writing to, I don't know if you can read, but they were writing poems to the objects. They were writing odes to the objects. And we also have invited children to sing songs and to compose guitar songs to the objects. So the idea was like to enrich the exhibition, both, of course, like the map that we had online and the piece that we have there in the museum through this artistic composition and through the poems. So it was again to show like that it's possible to explore more into how to make inclusion into other aspects of inclusion, I think, because for example when you go to the museum and to the design museum and you have a visual background, then you relate to these pieces in a very different way if you go to the museum and you have a musical background. So to give the stage to kids that were 10 years old to sing, to create music to the objects, it was a way to let them approximate to these objects. So it was inclusion, but inclusion because they could understand that the objects are nearer to them through their own music. And they could also put their own trace in the museum and leave their own interpretation of the objects. So I believe that through these comments, other people that are musicians could, for example, or are writers, could also be nearer the exhibition. So, as I told you, like all these trials that we do, you have there, for example, the kids playing the guitar. They were not only playing the guitar, but also they were were experimenting sounds with the, doing experiments with the sound with the alvar alto bass, and then these are the trials of Anne Jalki, and some of the objects, in my opinion, they really come out when people explain their own in their own way. So it was not only like the curator description of an object, but it was all this subjectivity, all this personal thought, all this creation that was also part of the exhibition there, and that could be part of that exhibition because we had this this possibility. In this case, it was like the educators with us letting us do all these trials and experiments. So you can see, for example, that in the map we have like the educator's description, in which you have like the who is the artist, who, when has been done, etc., and then like a little bit of a conversation that and some questions that people were adding. This is the case in which the for example for the kids it was a very interesting experience, and to the point that they offered to the museum to give a concert. So at the end they have done a CD and a concert out of the music they have done for the exhibition. And in the exhibition, you could listen to these sounds. So it was possible when you were there to listen to the sounds that were done for the for the objects. So why this participatory practice, and why do you want them in the museum? And all, and I think mostly these kind of things can be done because, of course, of the openness of the museum people who with I was working, but also it's a way to let people approximate to the to what is going on there, to share the space and say, you know what, like, you can also create your own interpretation out of this, and we want to listen to that. We are respecting this, and we really would like to put it in another stage. We really would like to share that and even publish your comments online. And we want to save them. There was, like, for example, many interesting comments in which you can see that there was some reflection there, that people has to do a reflection in the writing in order to explain to one another how this, like, the design of the object helps the support the performance. And it was, of course, this creative and personal experience. Then some objects also, and some of them, of the art created there, they also generate discussions, and we want this discussion to be part of the museum exhibition. So you also have. We also got a lot of dialogue, or these kind of things that the research the visitor asks something, and then the museum staff persons were commenting on that and were replying. So the idea to produce a dialogue that is extended after the moment of the visit is important, because we are not talking about only the moment of the visit. When we have these virtual exhibitions and these exhibitions, we also can produce, like, a long-term relationship in the museum. And these are, like, some examples of that. And it gives the possibility to the visitors to shape the discussion they want to have on the museum material. So it's not, for example, it's not only that, but also, as you know, in museums, there is a lot of experts visiting museums. And this is the case of a researcher coming to the museum and leaving this message, and then the museum researchers themselves, they didn't know about that, and then they started to explore, okay, is that true, does it exist? Like, it's also to have the possibility and to benefit from all these experts that are coming to the museum, and we actually are not letting them be part of what is going on. So how can the researchers visiting the museums and the experts visiting the museum also, we can give them the stage to put their own knowledge on the objects. So I think, like, now this for me was my past research, and now I am in the point of turning into how can we create and reuse from the material that is given by the museum. So how can designers, in my case I am interaction design researcher, so how can we designers facilitate this creation and reuse of material. And for that, we definitely need open content and data. But when I'm talking about open content, is in order to promote these participatory practices. So I of course agree, and we can talk about licenses and how to open content in museums, but it's basically that it's only through these practices and through influencing the attitudes in the museums that we could make the pieces available and inclusive and part of people's everyday life. They can feel that they can use it. So now we are working with a colleague of mine, with Sana Martila. We have started to work in OpenGLAM, but actually it's AvonGLAM in Finnish. You can see it. And OpenGLAM, GLAM stands for Galleries, Libraries, Archives, and Museum, and is an international network that tries to open data and content from memory institutions. So this is a Dutch initiative, and they are doing very interesting work there. I can tell you what we are trying to start to do here in Finland. So we have a blog, AvonGLAM, and we are documenting on what we are doing. Basically, AvonGLAM is a part of the local group of Open Knowledge Foundation. So we are a working group within Open Knowledge Foundation Finland. But Open Knowledge Foundation Finland is a very young organization, and we are starting to work together only 3 months ago or something like that, in which we had the first convention. So still AvonGLAM, we have had workshops and hack days within the Open Knowledge Festival, for example, last year. So these are our goals, is to support the construction of a network. So here I am, to invite you to our network, because each of our presentations, they are in order to motivate and promote this discussion about openness. And I have shown my personal path in that, but I also hope that people that is more into open data and want to share with us their insight come to promote this open content and the legal creative reuse of cultural heritage. So we have done a series of workshops and events in different regions of Finland, and in order to promote the development of the best practices. Now we are, for example, doing applications in order to be able to have these workshops more. We believe that it's fine to do this kind of lectures in which we talk about what we think, what is open knowledge and open content, but still we believe as designers that people learn by doing, and that is this act in the doing that we can understand better how to open and support a more transparent memory institutions and memory institutions that are working towards opening their cultural ways and their cultural, I don't know if I say. So we really need an open push, because we need more researchers and students involved in this discussion. So we are not only we, and this framework I borrowed from my colleague Sanna, and it's about like, what do we understand by openness? It was a little bit about what we have been talking here, like if we have the openness and then the participation in the other axis, then we have like possibilities to review material, for example, when we are sharing material in internet, but then, So, to also to give recommendation and to sharing material. In the case, for example, of my pieces, they were like commenting the pieces could be there, no? When you are giving recommendations to each other on what to see. Like then when you have like the linking to other collections. And also, in, for example, in the case of the poems and the music, I think it's about enriching this material, is opening the material so people can create on the top of that. And of course, like it could be the content remixed and the mashups are like one step towards, because it's like, is this the level of participation is very high and the openness of this is also high. And then all these applications and the development of software that could allow remix by a big group of people could be in this corner. We have some examples of good practices. For example, I don't know if you are familiar with what is the Van Gogh Museum doing, but it's about not only opening their own content and their own digital content, but forming a community. So Museum Van Gogh have decided that they want to form the community in Flickr. So they want to they go to Flickr in order to reach new people, but also they gather everyone that every person that has pictures tagged as Van Gogh, and they gather them and they make a community out of all these visitors that the Van Gogh Museum have, and they collect this material, and they are like they curating like their own exhibition in Flickr. So they are taking care that the visitors' material is well represented. It's well represented the museum, but it's also making the community. So all of you have gone to the museum, then you can be part if you share your material here. I'm not going to show many examples, but in our last event in Avant Glam, it was last week, and there was a person from Chiasma talking about a wiki marathon. So, for example, this coalition within Wikimedia Finland and the museum, it was very good. They have done a whole event in Chiasma in which they were like writing articles for Wikipedia. So in order for the museum to write good articles, they have organized this wiki marathon and learned together with the visitors and with the participants how they could do good material and what it is and how it is to write for Wikipedia, which is a completely, totally different task, and when you write an art critic from an art critic point of view. So, this is the end of my talk, and so I really think that to embrace this openness, my focus is on these participatory practices. So the how we invite people and who we invite are part of the questions, and when we are talking about sharing the collection and when we are talking about giving access to collection, we should be working together with the visitors in order to understand how do they want to understand and what kind of practices they are doing for sharing. So This is the work I am interested in doing, in better understanding how people share their material and how different communities are interested in interpreting museum collections, how different communities can use and create and remix from the museum content and do their own work based on that. I think that we really need a push towards openness that needs not only like the GLAM organizations, but also researchers and students. And I invite you to come into our next AVOIN GLAM event that is going to be the 15th of May in Vartiosari. And even though we call ourselves AVOIN GLAM, still, we don't want to be only concentrated on the organizations, but we also would like to have the artist's point of view, different organizations that might not be even galleries, libraries, but they could also be ONGs working with art or with things that could be exhibited. So, and I see this design research, design research is have its basis in action research. So we do things and we create new material in order to push a certain agenda. And in this case, what it's about, like, it's about trying to be a little bit more open in terms of who we invite and what is the content that we want to share. So I see this design research on cultural organizations as a form of activism also. And this is all. Te voitte kysyä suomeksi, jos tuntuu mukavalta. Mulle se oli helpompi puhua tästä englanniksi. Mutta voin vastata suomeksikin. Yes, Julia.
How did you know that I wanted to ask something? Ask something? Or not ask. Actually, again, I have a comment. I don't know how to make questions. I think your presentation was really interesting. But I kept thinking about those trials what you made about the cultural historical museum's point of view. And because I'm an ethnology student, I love these stories of objects from a museology point of view, but I also love the stories of people. So I'm thinking, like, in the cultural history museum, that comment thing might work really, really well if people would have a similar kind of map and the objects there, and they could tell stories about their own lives and their families' lives and the people they know, what they know about objects. And although if those stories could be presented near the objects in the exhibitions, it might be really interesting, at least for me. Yes. And I think that is something museums might have interest to develop also in the cultural history side.
Yes. I definitely encourage you to do that in a cultural museum. Like my own experience, for example, in the case of in the case of these water containers, for me they were like, why on earth museum people want to have these horrible, like, normal water containers as part of the exhibition? So, and then every Finnish person that came to the museum came with a story about that. So came with a fantastic, like, all my childhood I was carrying these water containers and they are part of my life. I was like, okay, now I understand this in another way. So I think definitely in cultural institutions is something that you want to promote more. But in cultural museums, but also I have seen that there is certain archives that are doing, are using this kind of work in order to promote people with dementia and people with memory problems to remember. So as an exercise to remember, they show this material. So when we are putting things online and when we are talking about open data and open content, is why do we want it? Because as much as people can have access to that, then you can use in very creative ways. Joo. Jokainen museo on ollut erilainen tarina, koska myös mitä mä oon ehdotanut niille oli aika erilainen, mutta mä voin sanoa, että kun olette opiskelija tai kun olette tutkija, se ulkonäkökulma on tosi mielenkiintoinen, mutta samalla haastava, koska emme olemme sisällä, miten se museo itse keskustelee tai pohdistelee. Sitten se ei ole helppo ymmärtää, mitä on yhteisiä ja mitä on, mistä me voisimme tehdä yhteistyötä. Mä sanoisin niitä museoihmisiä, jotka istuvat täällä, että pitäisi olla aika kärsivällisiä meidän kohta, koska välillä se kestää jokun aika ennen kuin me ymmärrämme, mitä on se, mitä me voisi tehdä yhdessä, että ei ole niin itsestäänselvä aluksi. Ja aina on, että mä tulen mun oma tutkimus ja mun oma kiinnostus mukaan, ja museo on oma periaate, toimintatapa ja oma tavalla ymmärtää, mitä mä yritän tehdä. Mutta esimerkiksi design-museossa, jossa mä oon pystynyt työskentellä pitempi, se koko yhteistyö on ollut rikkaampi molemmin puolen, nimenomaan siksi, koska me oon vietänyt aika paljon aikaa yhdessä pohdittamassa, että miten tehdään tätä interaktiivinen kartta. Mutta mun oma kokemus on ollut myös, että kun sä menet tätä ulkopuolinen näkökulmaa, kun sä tulet ulkopuolisena ja sulla on joku siellä museo, joka kutsuu sua ja auttaa sua, se on vaikea, että työskentellä koko museon henkilökuntan kanssa. Ja esimerkiksi tässä niistä mun omat teokset, se oli tosi, tosi tärkeä, että mä olin siellä opaiden kanssa ja niitä vartijan kanssa, koska vartijat ovat se, joka auttavat ihmisiä käyttää, ja ne voisivat kertoa ja ne voi kutsua ja tehdä toita vartijoiden kanssa on ollut esimerkiksi mulle tosi tärkeää, koska ne ovat ne, jotka fasilitoivat, että ihmiset pystyvät tehdä, koska emme haluamme tehdä mitään interaktiivisia teoksia ja vain se jäätä siellä ja katsotaan kuka kautta ja kuka ei. Mutta mitä me haluamme on, että fasilitoi se koko prosessi, että suunnittelijana mä en ajattele, että tämän työ loppu. Siellä mä ajattelen, että niin kauan kuin se teos on siellä museossa ja online-lentissä, mä haluan yrittää tukea, mitä tapahtuu. Ja se on osa mun, miten mä voin ymmärtää niitä seurauksia ja se impact. En tiedä, miten sanotaan suomeksi. Impakti? Okei. Okay. Eli sekin tuu mukaan. Yes, for example, in this one, in this one I thought that we had the software, in this piece we had the software, and I had this idea that why don't we use this map thing in the museum. So I did not cooperate in this piece with the artists, and that was a big mistake. And this is part of what, like, you do as design researcher. You do something, you evaluate, and then from there you you create another piece that would answer the questions that you didn't answer in the previous one. So in this one, the artists were coming to see what the public was leaving there. Like, do you have any comment on me? Did anyone put any link related to my work? And then, like, I did not have the chance, because what I should have done is to invite the artists, present the idea, and then give them the time to put their own web pages there and their own biographies and their own whatever they wanted to put there, like to enrich the map before the exhibition together with the artist. And I didn't do that. So because I realized my mistake in the second one, in this one, I have been interviewing artists and then using the recordings. So it was part of the work to interview some of the, of course not all of them, because some of them are dead, but the ones that I have invited them to workshops in which I interview, and it was very nice to have like videos of them that at the end it was part of this like following the piece in their life, because it was in a moment I realized, hey, I should have done more work with the artists here. And it was very nice to have the artists there explaining and showing their own pieces, because what the artists said about the design process and how they have created the pieces and how they think they people could use the pieces is very different of what like the educators in the museum put there, of course. No? It's their own perspective. So I think this should still be richer if more of these artists present could be there. That was a good point. Yes.
No more?